broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was thinking as I walked into the studio how important it is for us not only to know the truth, but to apply the truth. As wonderful and worthwhile as it is to memorize and examine the Scripture, it's simply not enough. We have to take the knowledge we glean from the Word of God and apply it to every aspect of our daily life. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, and this is precisely what Jesus Christ talked about when he was concluding his majestic Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." And later on, he says that everyone who builds his house on a rock is the very one who not only hears but does what I'm commanding him to do. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," said Jesus, "is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, James makes essentially the same point. He says, don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Everyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is kind of like a guy who looks at his face in a mirror and then after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But in contrast, the man who looks intently into the perfect law, the law that gives freedom, and then continues to do what the law says, not forgetting what he has heard, but actually doing it, he'll be blessed by what he does. Paul essentially says the same thing. We oftentimes quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but Paul goes on and says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do." So wisdom, the application of knowledge, don't just hear, but take what you hear and put it into practice. We're trying to teach people discernment skills so they're always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, and to do it with gentleness and with respect. Remember as well that this is the last day officially for making the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your support. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We're also, all this month, attempting to set a record for the number of people who join the CRI monthly support team. When you join, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, personalized to you, a family member or a friend, check it out on the web again, equip.org. And by the way, you can give electronically. When you do, it saves time and postage. You can use a credit card, a debit card, or an EFT. But please be generous as you give. Last day for this being our official resource of the month. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. As always, the number 888-ASK-HANK numerically, 888-275-4265. Matthew in Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Matthew.
How are you doing today, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Well, my question for you today is about politics. You're probably going to kick me. But tomorrow, we're voting for primaries, and my pick from the start has been Dr. Ben Carson. And a while back, I've been reading about Seventh-day Adventism. I think I'm saying that right.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that was his religion, and I was just wondering if you had any information about that religion and what you thought about Ben Carson as a person and as a candidate.
Well, I think he's a great person. As far as his Adventism is concerned, there are Adventists who are thoroughly Orthodox. Adventism is not a monolith. It's multifaceted. So there are Orthodox Adventists. There are also liberal Adventists who deny all the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And there are traditionalists, and they pretty much major on the aberrant Adventist doctrines like soul sleep, Sabbatarianism, even the seer status of their prophet, Ellen G. White. And as I've pointed out many times, in sharp distinction to soul sleep, the Bible provides ample evidence that after death, the soul continues to exist apart from the body. Likewise, God himself provided the early Christian church with a new pattern of worship through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, as well as the Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. And as far as Ellen G. White is concerned, while she claimed divine authority for her prophecies, she was obviously wrong when she prophesied that she would be alive at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So these are some of the aberrant doctrines of traditionalists within the Adventist movement. I don't really know which category Ben Carson falls into, but I do think that he has conducted himself in exemplary fashion and is a very, very wise man and someone who I have a deep and abiding respect for. But in making decisions politically, you have to look at all the converging factors. There are problems with all the candidates when it comes to their spirituality. I can say that for sure, knowing some of the backgrounds of the candidates involved. But the point here is that you choose a president who can keep the American people safe and also a president who can best run the country in such a way that our liberties are enhanced as opposed to being diminished. Beyond that, I can't tell anybody who to vote for. It's not my place. I think as a Christian, though, we have to be wise. We have to look at all the prevailing factors. Who has a chance to win in a general election? Who has a chance to emerge as the candidate leading the Republican field? And the same thing with respect to the Democrats. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joe. He's listening in Oklahoma City, KQCV. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Hank. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. My question is, I've been visiting with a socialist, and they used the story of Sapphira and Ananias and the whole surrounding to that as a biblical example of communism / socialism. Thing I was wanting to find out is I've been told, and I couldn't find it in the scripture, I maybe looked, but basically that they went on an economic standpoint, they basically became destitute and the other churches had to support them but with provision. Is that biblical or is that somebody got that extra biblical.
Well, no, I think what you have to realize is they're probably pointing to Acts chapter 4, where everything is in common among the believers. And I think what you have to recognize is that this is not a prescription for socialism. It is a narrative, not a didactic teaching in Scripture. So I don't think it's normative for all people in all circumstances. But even beyond that, modern communism or even socialism is based on a theory of class warfare, in which the workers revolt against the capitalists, and the government forcibly takes control of private property. But there's none of this class warfare stuff in the early church in Jerusalem, and nor is private property treated as immoral. The Christians are selling their possessions, and they are in a free and spontaneous fashion sharing what they have with other believers. And the communal life of the early church in Jerusalem is never, as I said, made the norm for all Christians everywhere at all times. So the Bible is not teaching socialism. In fact, I would say that the overall theological deduction you can make from Scripture is what I call Christian capitalism, which is responsibility associated with wealth. It's not how much you have, it's what you do with what you have that God will ultimately call us to account for when we stand before Him in judgment.
Well, I appreciate that. I guess I didn't make my question clear. Is what I was I've been told either from the pulpit or listening on the radio, can't remember which, that they actually ran out of funds, and the other churches had to send, you know, when Paul collected money and different things, sent money to the Jerusalem church to support the Jerusalem church because they ran out of funds.
This is true, but this is also, when you look at what happened with the churches, they supported the ministry of the Apostle Paul so that the Apostle Paul could carry out his missionary enterprises, and no doubt also used money to help those who were in need within the churches. That is absolutely true, and I've written about that in various places, including, I believe, an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Caesar, listening in Houston, California, also Bot Radio. Hi, Caesar.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
I had a question about King David's ministry. We know that he was king, and I was also told that he was a prophet. How much truth is there in that?
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, in that David typologically looked forward to Messiah. So within the writings of David, you have a direct line towards one who would forever sit upon the throne of David. But this is what you find throughout the Old Testament. You have throughout the Old Testament types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ, as well as direct prophecies about a Messiah that would come. And when Jesus Christ comes, he is the only one who can walk through the doorway of the Psalms and the prophets. So David prophesied the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as did Isaiah, as did many of the prophets. In fact, the exact details with respect to the ministry of Jesus Christ were prophesied. His ancestry, his birthplace, the fact that he would be crucified with criminals, and this was before crucifixion was invented by the Persians and popularized by the Romans. The date of his visitation was given within narrow historical time parameters. It was prophesied that he would be an extraordinary worker of miracles. It was also prophesied that it would be too small for him to be a parochial Jewish Messiah. He would be one through whom the light would go to the Gentiles so that the gospel could reach the far reaches of the world. He fulfilled all the law and the prophets, and that's why in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your question. Do remember, again, the last day for the resource of the month, the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your gift for those who join the monthly CRI support team. Be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Also, you can download the CRI app, and on that app, you can listen to archive broadcasts, live broadcasts, read articles from the Christian Research Journal, donate much more. Just go to equip.org/app to download the CRI app. And also while you're at the website, you might want to take a look at subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. If you've not done so already, a brand new edition of the journal out and ready for consumption. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or just write me. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, don't forget them. They're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Be back with more answers, so please don't touch that dial.
When you ponder the spiritual and moral problems facing our nation, which ones would not be improved through a deeper understanding and application of biblical principles? That's why you need the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. And if you like the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Receive your revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Mothers are uniquely positioned to influence their children's intellectual formation profoundly. When they themselves become dedicated learners, mothers are better prepared to initiate spontaneous conversations that will inspire their children to think more deeply about Christianity. In the cover article, Motherhood and the Life of the Mind, Melissa Kane Travis maps out a strategy to make this goal attainable. Other topics include When Baby Making Takes Three, You, Me, and She, Quentin Tarantino's Postmodern Theology, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer Books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD.
Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Does the Bible promote slavery? What about polygamy? How can Christians legitimize a God who orders the genocide of entire nations? How could Pharaoh be morally responsible if God hardened his heart? Do the gospel accounts contradict one another? Is soul sleep biblical? What about the millennium? These and many more questions are answered in Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated. Receive Hank's revised and updated complete Bible answer book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. And if you like the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Just call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Brandon, listening in Kansas City, Missouri, on Bud Radio. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing, brother? I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Hey, let me give a short rundown so you know where I'm looking at things here. I was raised Baptist. I have absolute faith in the Spirit and what the Lord can do. We've currently been attending a church that's non-denominational. Some great people. The Spirit's there. But my heart is trying to decipher on purity, and there is a lot of laying on hands, and at the end of the message, you know, hey, the prayer team will come up and say, you know, the Lord laid this on our heart in specifics, and I don't doubt for a second that God can do miraculous things with his people, but I'm really kind of curious as to what your take is on that. One of my senior pastors who is dear to me believed that there are no more prophets at the turn of the century. Those gifts died. And what's your spin on that?
Well, I think it really depends on what you are talking about when you talk about prophets or apostles. If you talk about an apostle in the sense of a church planter or a missionary or a pastor of pastors, that is perfectly legitimate. In the same fashion, if you talk about a prophet in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision for its mission or who challenges the church to deeper commitment to Jesus Christ, those are perfectly significant and relevant in the church today. However, we don't see prophets like Isaiah or Jeremiah. We don't see prophets like Daniel that can predict a succession of nations from Babylon to the Babe of Bethlehem. In fact, what we see with modern-day prophets is that they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. The biblical prophets demonstrate their legitimacy because they are able to say what is going to happen before it happens, and thus we can trust their words as being the inspired words of God. The apostles, likewise, along with Jesus Christ, form the foundation of the church, Jesus, of course, being the cornerstone. That foundation is not being relayed. So the idea that there are apostles that can give us Scripture is simply wrong. The idea that apostles can do the same works as the Apostle John did, etc., is also wrong. The works of the biblical apostles ratified them, again, as being spokespersons for God. So what I would say is pretty much what you said in the prologue to the question. It is true that God can continue to do the miraculous. Anyone that puts God in a box is simply misguided. God can do what he did in the past and the present. The reality, however, is that miracles are not normative. If they were, we wouldn't be calling them miracles. The other part of it with respect to prophecy that we should get a handle on is that in the New Testament, prophecy is equated to strengthening, encouraging the body of Christ. So it's not about foretelling the future, it's about forth telling. Again, strengthening, edifying, equipping, encouraging the body of Christ. So when you hear people say that they are super apostles and prophets, that if Isaiah, Jeremiah, or John were here today, they'd be standing in line to get their autograph, don't believe them. It is a pretense, and it is certainly presumptuous. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tyler, Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, Hank, how's it going?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, my question is on Mark chapter 2, where the paralyzed man is lowered into the house where Jesus is staying, and the first thing Jesus says to him is, I see your faith, your sins are forgiven. And so my question is, was the paralyzed man paralyzed man's condition due to his sin? Is that why Jesus forgave his sins before he healed him? That's my question.
Well, we don't know in a specific sense. What I can say for certain is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore the paralytic is in that condition. However, to be able to say that his paralysis was a function of sin, I think, is presumptuous on anyone's part. But the purpose of Christ coming into the world is to forgive sin and to free us from bondage. I mean, the world, as we know it today, groans in travail. It's awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, and we ourselves also. And by the way, forgiving sins is a greater power than physical healing. God alone can forgive sins, and Jesus here is pointing to the fact that he is indeed God in human flesh. And through that, they glorify God, the one who can not only heal all of our diseases, but also the one who can forgive us our sins, the one who bridges the chasm between the righteousness and holiness of God and our sinful condition. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lenny, listening in Rogers, Arkansas. Hi, Lenny.
Hello. How you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
I have a question. This weekend, I was on one of the rental sites, whatever, and I ran across a film, and I watched it, called The Secret. And it had Secrets to Success, blah, 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 same old, same old. But it's like they kept hitting on three main things: ask, believe, and receive. And something about it just didn't ring Christian to me. And I was wondering if you've heard of that video, and I just wanted to know your thoughts on it, and I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, very familiar with it. In fact, I wrote about it in the introduction to a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book that is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But of course, everyone wants to know the secret to health, the secret to wealth, the secret to successful relationships, the secret to making a fortune on Wall Street, and the list goes on, including the secret to maintaining perfect weight, a secret that I'm trying to figure out for myself. But the end is, the list is endless. And what Rhonda Byrne does, she is the author or the principal person who collates the other authors, she informed the world that she had discovered the secret to life. And when she did, the world took notice. In fact, Oprah, she dubbed The Secret life transformational. She said that the thoughts, the feelings that you put into the world, whether they're good or bad, are exactly what is always coming back to you. So you have the life that you yourself have created. And Oprah went on to talk about how this is a theme that she's been talking about for years and years and years. She just never called it The Secret. So what is The Secret? According to Rhonda Byrne, it is the law of attraction. The law of attraction is the law of creation. And as you correctly say, she formulates it in those three simple steps. You ask, you believe, you receive. And she points to herself as the prime example of someone who has done all three. And in one, I think it's in the video, actually, she says that she was able to transform herself from fat to thin. And the way she did it was she thought thin thoughts. And in the process, she didn't even look at fat people. If you see people who are overweight, she says, you better not observe them. As a result, she says she maintains a perfect weight. She can eat whatever she wants. And the error for her is to think that food is responsible for weight gain. In fact, I'm turning to a passage here that's encapsulated. I actually quote this in my book, Christianity in Christ. And this is what she says. The most common thought that people hold, and I held it too, she says, is that food was responsible for my weight gain. That is a belief that does not serve you, and in my mind now is complete balderdash. Food is not responsible for putting on weight. It is your thought that food is responsible for putting on weight that actually puts on weight. Remember, thoughts are primary cause of everything, and the rest is just effects from those thoughts. Think perfect thoughts, and the result will be perfect weight. Well, at first blush, that kind of rhetoric might seem just silly, but there's a clear and present danger in that kind of reasoning. Because just as her followers must avoid fat people for fear of becoming fat themselves, so too they have to avoid cancer victims for fear of contracting cancer. Or for that matter, poor people for fear of becoming poor. And when you think about what she's saying, you look at the logical extension of it, and you find one of the contributors to the secret saying that a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally raped and murdered attracted that horror to herself. That's what Joe Vitale said. In fact, he said it back when he was on Larry King, back in the Larry King days. He says, we are attracting everything to ourselves, and there is no exception. Bottom line, thoughts are the primary cause of everything, whether good or bad. On the one hand, thin thoughts produce thin bodies. On the other, 6 million Jews brought the horrors of the Holocaust upon themselves. How? Through their thoughts. There are no exceptions. And this is a pernicious kind of a dogma. It's New Thought metaphysics, and unfortunately, the dogma is now being cleverly repackaged and proliferated in Christian circles. Again, wrote about it in Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, the book available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. The resource for the month, once again, last day that it is the resource for the month, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for your support. We need people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Truth matters, life matters more, just like the menu matters, but the meal matters more. Again, the book available for your support. And don't forget, we're trying to set a record this month. We have set the record, to be honest with you. We're somewhere around 150 people that have joined the monthly support team, but you can add to that list. You can join at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. Check it out, equip.org/donate. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
The average Christian can't be expected to be a Bible scholar. And in today's fast-paced culture, only few people are going to do the heavy lifting of systematically searching Scripture to find the accurate answers they need. Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, offers you concise, accessible, and well-researched answers. And if you like the old edition, you're going to love the new one.
Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Surrogacy today is an increasingly popular reproductive option for infertile couples, but could bringing a third person, another woman, into God's plan for human reproduction be a good thing? The article, When Baby Making Takes Three, You, Me, and She surveys and evaluates the practice. Other topics include unexplaining the Mormon priesthood ban on blacks, a Holy Spirit encounter with a Jehovah's Witness, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Anselm, in defense of greatest being theology, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff is convinced that the increase in our national social woes, now reaching alarming heights, can be correlated to what is a decades-long decline in biblical literacy. To help reverse this trend, Hank wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book, and now he'd like you to have a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. If you enjoyed the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Receive your revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Brandon is up next, listening in Gaston, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for your work and your commitment to the Word. The question I have for you is, what is your view on the churches participating in these holidays like Easter and Christmas that was born from a pagan holiday that the Catholic Church adopted and put just enough of Jesus into for us to go along with. And it drives me crazy. And, I mean, Easter, that's the goddess of the dawn. And yet, I mean, we participate in that. I'll hang up and listen to your opinion on that. Thank you.
Sure. And a couple of things. The first thing we should recognize is that Christmas was not instituted as some kind of a pagan festival. It was a rival festival to the pagan festivals. So the real answer being in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, not in any kind of pagan god. The same thing is true with Easter celebrations. During Easter, Christians celebrate the Great Lent. This is the 40 days, not including the Lord's Day, on which his glorious resurrection is remembered. But these are, this is the Lent, during which there's a rekindled devotion to the principles of the kingdom. And that includes prayer and fasting and almsgiving. It includes repentance leading to forgiveness, a recommitment to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, loving your neighbor as yourself. And all of that together is preparation for the feast of Christ's resurrection, which in turn, I might say, is emblematic of our being raised with him in newness of life on the day of his second appearing. So Easter is the commemoration of Holy Week. It begins with Palm Sunday. That memorializes Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Then there's Maundy Thursday. It's a day on which Christians pray and partake of communion and wash one another's feet in humble obedience to the loving command of Jesus Christ. I loved you. Love one another. Of course, on Good Friday, we're all familiar with that. There's a sober reflection on the death and burial of Jesus Christ, and there's a remembrance that our Lord suffered on the cross more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we might experience life to the full. And then on Saturday evening or early Sunday morning, Christians worldwide gather in glorious certainty that as the sun dawns in the east, so the Son of Glory has risen from the dead. One of the problems we have today is we troll the internet and we come up with faulty facts about history, faulty facts about origins. And the problem there is not only that sometimes we communicate the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie, but we miss out on the blessings of a celebration that brings us back, centers us, if you will, on those things that are really important. Remember that you worship every Lord's Day, and when you do, you remember something, the rest you have through Jesus Christ. It's a remembrance of his resurrection. So just as we set day apart every week, we set times apart every year so that we can dwell on, recommit ourselves to that which is, well, it is the center of things. Easter traditionally culminates with a congregational feast that's in joyous expectation of the wedding supper of the Lamb. There is no wedding without a bridegroom. There's no redemption apart from the risen Redeemer. And there's no renewal of the cosmos and creature apart from resurrection. So blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. There are pagan trappings. I'm not suggesting that we imbibe those pagan trappings, but I am suggesting that we focus our lives ever more clearly and nearly on those things that are transcendently important. Lori, next, in Kansas City. Hi.
Hi. How should a PE teacher or coach respond to transgenders in high school locker rooms?
Well, I think it's a very difficult circumstance. I think part of the circumstance comes from a culture that is in crisis. The moment you start giving in to the kinds of norms that we have given into, you end up having all kinds of attendant problems. And that's what we're going to be facing. Some are purely ridiculous. And we're, I think, as Christians, to remember a couple of things. First, that God has spoken. The Bible is crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. In fact, the New Testament derives its prescriptions against same-sex sexuality and other aberrations from the creation order of Genesis and the prohibitions of Leviticus. And Scripture contends that wholly apart from access to special revelation, general revelation is sufficient to underscore God's condemnation of these kinds of perversions. We should also do well to recognize that the Bible does not condemn perversion in an arbitrary or capricious fashion. It carefully defines the borders of human sexuality for a reason. It is that our joy might be complete. But having said all of that, I think many Christians are in need of an attitude adjustment. We don't want to establish a we-they siege mentality against the world. Pagans are going to exercise their job description. What else would they do? Why is the culture where it is? Is it because pagans are exercising their job description? I would argue no. It is because Christians are failing to exercise their responsibility to be ambassadors, to be salt and light. And when the salt is removed from a culture, the culture becomes corrosive. Bottom line, however, we should never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of being politically correct. Our conscience has to be captive to the Word of God. To abandon the call that God has placed upon our collective lives as Christians is a very significant error. It's the mother of errors. What we're talking about here is natural law. And the moment you try to defy natural law, you end up cutting off the very limb on which you're sitting. We've done it, and now we're living with the consequences, and your question highlights that very fact. Let's go back to the phone lines. Letitia, listening in Arkansas. Hi. Yes. Hello. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Letitia.
My question is, it's in the book of Revelation, and it talks about John's vision, Revelation 22, verse 14. It says that the people of God will be keeping the commandments, and they will be the one that will enter into the city. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. Are you talking about the passage that says, "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end." And then he says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to go through the gates into the city."
I have the King James Version, and it says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter into the gates into the city."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I wanted you to elaborate on John's vision a little bit more. Do you think that we have to go back to keeping the commandments of God?
No. I think that the whole of Scripture makes plain an unfolding meta-narrative. So if you look at this from the beginning, you have 11 chapters. It's sort of like this is what happened in previous episodes, kind of catches you up to speed. Then in chapter 12, Abraham is called from Ur of the Chaldees, and from that point on, you have God's unfolding plan of redemption, culminating in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. In chapter 22, That's precisely what Jesus is showing us through the prophet John. The angel showed him the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in that city. His servants will serve him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. So getting to the passage that you're talking about, just a few verses further on, he is talking about those who wash their robes, but what do you wash your robes in? In the grand meta-narrative of Scripture, it is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so the righteousness that we have is not a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. John says that he is the one through whom we are redeemed. It is he by which we have righteousness. And Jesus himself says, I've sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root. I am the offspring of David. I am the bright. I am the morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. So we have two options. One, we can be dressed in the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness. Two, we can be dressed in the spotless robes of the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to continue, so many of you hanging on. I'll be right back here tomorrow answering more questions. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Remember, we do what we do because life and truth matter. And so we're asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When you do, all this month, one more day remaining, we'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated as my way of saying thank you for your support. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send to you the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. If you like the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.